Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. So today I have been joined by Hannah Cox from Better Not Stop. Better Not Stop help business with their B Corp certification through support, training and workshops. They also run a Better Business Network to help connect business leaders as a force for good. And they are a certified pending B Corp. Hannah Cox is the founder of Better Not Stop. So welcome to the show, Hannah.
Hello, nice to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
No, great to have you. For listeners, I know Hannah, we've done some things together on Clubhouse, and we run a B Corp bootcamp room every Thursday at 12. So come along to that if you'd like to. And Hannah does some other good business stuff, which we'll come on to that. But I guess the first thing I wanted to understand, Hannah, was what's behind the name? Why Better Not Stop?
It's a bit of a sad story, I guess.
Okay.
Get ready for it.
I still want to hear it.
Tissue's ready. Okay. So in 2011, I was nearly made homeless in London, and actually had to move up to Manchester to keep working to get a job. And at the time, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, and it actually happened very, very quickly. He was diagnosed, you know, just after Christmas. He found out. He didn't let us kids know until around spring, and he died in the July. And it was a very incredibly stressful period of time in my life, as I'm sure you can imagine. Mm. If anyone's ever had a parent die, it's just almost like this is the circle of life, but it's still a complete surprise and shock and awful thing when it happens. And he'd worked his entire life in a huge multinational corporation, and he was just about to retire at 60 to, you know, live out his retirement and do everything that he wanted to do, you know, all the bucket list items, and just before he retired, they reshuffled his department so that they could try and get away with giving him a lower pension. So that was a bit cheeky of them. And then he retired and died immediately afterwards. So all these things that he kind of planned to do, when I'm older, I'll do this. When I retire, I'll do this. He never got to do any of them. And he said to me, whatever you do, Hannah, just don't settle. Don't be waiting for in 10, 20 years to do all the things that you want to do. You need to do it now. Yeah. And I was in a very stressful job at the time. And I was thinking, yeah, he's right. Why am I doing this? Why am I not pursuing the things that really I enjoy and that I like to do? Mm. And kind of the name Better Not Stop came from that, to not stop, to not settle, to really just really strive and take responsibility on trying to make the life that you want, the life that you're having now, rather than the life that you want to kind of plan for in your later years.
Yeah. And was it kind of you mentioned the sort of the reshuffle, the big corporate thing, and that's part of the game you have to play in those huge corporates. And so was it kind of a reaction and a kind of a, you know, anti kind of that kind of culture and big corporate thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been a big corporate culture person anyway. Yeah. I've been self-employed since university, pretty much. Yeah. And my dad died when I was in my mid-20s. So I'd never, kind of had that corporate lifestyle myself. Mm. But I'd always felt that my dad kind of was like waiting for me to sort myself out, basically waiting for me to settle down and, you know, take a proper career path, really, because that's what he'd done. And it actually was the complete opposite that he was recommending I do, which was, you know what, actually keep taking these chances, keep trying new things out, because you never know where it will take you. So that's where the name Better Not Stop kind of came from.
And it's a bit of a misnomer these days, isn't it? Proper career path. I mean, if you're in law or medicine or finance, maybe that exists, but for everybody else, it's what is a career path?
And technology is moving so fast. I mean, even the first kind of jobs I had out of university and the ways in which I worked in marketing, I mean, it's just stuff that doesn't exist anymore. You know, we were signing people up on email lists outside gigs, and we were adding people on MySpace and all these sorts of things. all these sorts of things.
Friends reunited.
Yeah, exactly. All these sorts of things. Yeah. MSN Messenger that we just don't use anymore. So you have to be able to adapt to whatever field you're in and continue to educate yourself. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think no matter what sector you're in now.
Yeah. And we'll come on to the best not stop company service, but there were a couple of things you mentioned, you know, doing what you want and doing it now and stuff, and there are a couple of other things that I noticed that you've done, and the road to happiness. Kind of tell us about that.
So I was running these sort of better not stop events in Manchester. I didn't really know anybody when I moved up here, so I kind of was putting together these sort of social meetups for people that were interested in the same things I was interested in. And I'd put on kind of documentary screenings and things like that. And I started to do something called an adventure planning workshop, where we basically go with a map and we'd all talk about the sorts of adventures we wanted to go on. Okay. And I was talking, we'd recently all watched a documentary called Happy, which I'd highly recommend, which is available on Netflix. Okay. And it basically goes around the world and looks at different areas in the world and what people do to be happy, essentially. Okay. And I got kind of really interested in this like concept of happiness and well-being. And I started to do a bit of research on it and discovered that there's something called the World Happiness Report, and that Copenhagen was the happiest place to live, apparently.
Yep.
And then I discovered a country called Bhutan, which I didn't even know where it was. And many people I tell now don't know where it is, but it's just on top of India, in case you're wondering. And Bhutan measures everything by gross national happiness rather than gross domestic product. And we were kind of discussing it, and I was, you know, saying to my friend, I'd love to go to Bhutan. It'd be amazing. And this is, you know, this story about Copenhagen, this story about Bhutan. And he just said, well, you should just go to both on like this on an adventure. And I was like, oh yeah. And then it just escalated into, I'm just going to travel overland between the two, because then that's going to really almost be this like journey of self-discovery, where like I'll slowly see what the differences are, you know, in all the different countries and how they measure their own happiness. So that's
There's a journey, and maybe that's a whole other discussion, isn't it, for a whole other show. We could, yeah, that sounds like a very long, interesting discussion about that experience. But so the road to happiness was just the experience of, you know, doing that journey, Copenhagen to Bhutan, and in a short answer, what did that teach you?
Patience. I actually was very excited about going on my own. And I met my partner the year before kind of I was going to hit my budget target to leave. Yep. And actually on our first date, I was like, well, you know, I don't know why I'm going on this date, because I'm off traveling and no man's going to stop me doing that. And I actually said to him, well, I'm going on this trip. And he said, well, can I come? And I thought, well, yeah, if you want to come, you can come. Mm-hmm. And so that it taught me patience, because I was then suddenly traveling with somebody else. So it wasn't just my adventure, it was somebody else's adventure. And it also taught me how much I don't know. So I feel like I felt relatively well educated. I like to watch documentaries. I like to read about history, and, you know, I like to keep up to date with the news. And I went, you know, so I kind of went into it thinking, you know, I know quite a lot of stuff. And actually the trip told me I actually don't know anything.
Okay.
And there were huge parts of history that have shaped these countries into what they are now, and the reasons their societies work the way they do, and the way that people that live there live the way they do, that was mind-blowing to me. So it made me be less judgmental of people, because I don't know about their cultures and their backgrounds and why they might have different opinions to me on things. And also maybe even more hungry to try and learn more about the world around me.
And do you think that kind of influenced the Better Not Stop service, the kind of the package of things you do for customers? Do you think that kind of helped shape those?
Oh yeah, 100%. So I've always really been focused, I think, since my dad died, around wanting to look at how I can improve, how we ourselves as humans can improve our own lives and improve the impact that we are personally having on the planet and on other people in a positive way.
Yep.
And I think the trip made me realise there's so many systemic issues with society and governments and the way things are run, that it doesn't matter almost the best intentions that you might have as a person, almost the odds are stacked up against you in many situations in how to be the best environmentally or for other people. So I was thinking, well, you know, I've got the option of keep doing what I'm doing, which is, you know, spreading the word to individuals, which I love to do. But also I wanted, you know, there needs to be big systemic change in the way businesses are run and governments are run. So I was like, I just need to be start to think bigger now about how I approach this problem, because it's large. And if I try to do it person by person, I'm never going to get to where I need to be.
And we said at the start of the show that you're a pending B Corp. Now, for those listeners that don't know what a pending B Corp is, tell us what it is and why you chose or had to become a pending B Corp.
So Better Not Stop, the kind of stuff I've been doing under that name for several years, has been almost like a side hustle passion project. I've had my own business separately, several of my businesses separately, which were the things that essentially paid the rent.
Yeah.
Better Not Stop was the stuff that I did because I loved doing it. And I never really figured out how it was going to make me tons of money. I'd put on an event and, you know, charge for tickets, but they'd usually cover the costs and all the costs of the speakers and things like that. So after the Road to Happiness trip, I came back, realized I wasn't really working on the projects that I wanted to. I wanted to really look at Better Not Stop and how I could build that into the sort of business that would not just, you know, make me money, but also make the changes that I wanted to have in my life and through the business. So it took me to kind of 2018, late 2018, to register it as like an official business as a limited company. And then I worked on it for quite a while before I started actually trading as a company. And since it started, it's also shifted into what it does as a business, which I can go into later. But as a result, I'm a pending B Corp because I just haven't been trading for that long. So I've been trading for under a year. And once I've been trading for more than 12 months, I can kind of, you know, apply to become an official B Corp.
Yeah. So it's not your choice. B Corp have certain rules about who can apply and when they can apply. And just because of the legal status of your current business, because you haven't been in that for 12 months, then you have to be pending as opposed to certified.
And that's
all that means. So for listeners, if you wonder what if you see a pending B Corp, you know, that organization probably does a good deal of great ethical stuff. It's early in that legal structure that happens to be in. So, you know, the people that are running it, the business itself might be, you know, numbers of years older than that. But that's why you see pending B Corp. And so tell us about what Better Not Stop do. Tell us about your services and, you know, and the value you bring to the world.
So the original problem I was trying to solve with Better Not Stop was occupational burnout. Something that I kept coming across time and time again on my trip was, you know, burnout, people are trying to do amazing things and change the world. And occupational burnout has now been classified as a disease by the World Health Organization. So the original concept behind the business was to solve that problem. Originally, that was through travel experiences and wellbeing packages. And since the last 12 months has happened, we're now focusing on actually helping business owners with a holistic approach to how they look after their businesses and themselves. So the B Corp certification is part of that. So it's looking at how can you create a resilient business that's going to make great social and environmental impact on the world. And then the Better Business Network sits more in that space of providing a platform and an area and a network for those business owners to really be supported, really from a well-being point of view, as well as from a business growth point of view.
And so the B Corp kind of service side of things, you support people through the process of becoming a B Corp, because it isn't all that straightforward for some. So what are the typical things you see and that you help people with? You know, if somebody comes to you and says, we're thinking about becoming a B Corp, what's your advice, Hannah? What should we do? How can you help us? What would you say to them?
Well, I mean, often, because B Corp is a relatively new movement, I'm sure from listening to your podcast myself, I'm sure a lot of your listeners already know what a B Corp is, but in general, it's quite a new movement.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, it's a new movement. It's a certification businesses across all industries and sectors can use to almost map out and lay the foundations of what impact they're having as a business across different areas. So it looks at five different areas of the business. It looks at how the governance, so the structure of the business. It looks at how you treat your workers, how your social impact, which sits under what they call community, how you look after your customers, and how you look after the environment and your environmental impact. So when businesses come to me, often they want to, yes, they want to become B Corp certified because they want to show their values through their actions as a business. And often they want to kind of align their businesses with the other sorts of businesses that are B Corps, like Patagonia as an example. But I found in my experience that it's usually business owners who already have the values of a B Corp within them. They're already trying to do better in the way in which they run their business. And B Corp just almost gives them a framework and a way for them to measure that impact and also help them look at the areas in their business that maybe they could work on in the future.
So is that where you help them work on those areas, or do you help them kind of align to B Corp, or how does it kind of work? Do they
So how it works with me, so there's a B impact assessment. So to become B Corp certified, a business can just do the assessment themselves for free and apply for it themselves. So I'm what's called a B leader, which means I've been trained by B Lab, which are the people that certify B Corps, to help businesses through that assessment process, because often it's a lot of time. There's always an associated monetary cost to becoming more sustainable as a business. So it's basically helping those businesses work out which are the most important areas for that business to be working on, and how can we get them to the stage where they're going to be ready to submit and certify, because you have to hit a certain point threshold to become certified as a B Corp. And often businesses might just kind of shortfall that point system. So therefore they know they need to invest in certain areas of their business, and they're just trying to work out what's going to be the best way for that business.
Okay. So essentially you give them a bit more, you know, leverage, maybe not the right word, but you help them from the impact assessment, say these are the things that are really going to make the difference, and here's how you kind of, you know, move your score forwards. And you mentioned B leaders, and that was one thing I really wanted to talk to you about today, because there's a lot of bees in B Corp, and whether it's the B Hive or the B Local or
so
the B
many
Corp,
bees.
But the B leaders. Now you're our B leader. So
I am.
Who are B leaders, and what do they do?
Okay, so if we break it down, so B Lab is the non-profit organization that certifies B Corps.
Yep.
B Corps are the businesses that go through the B impact assessment, and B leaders are business consultants who have been trained by B Lab UK to help those businesses through the assessments. So they are not employees of B Lab. They run their own independent businesses, but they have been trained by B Lab UK. So anyone can call themselves a B Corp consultant, and perhaps that might be the easiest thing. I think if you didn't know what a B leader was, you think, a B Corp consultant, that they can help, and many can. But a B leader is someone who almost is a B Corp consultant that has been properly trained by B Lab to really understand all those areas of the assessment.
So if you're an organisation that's thinking about becoming a B Corp and you want somebody to help you that has kind of the best kind of official consulting certification, if you like, then you should be looking for a B leader to help you with that journey.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And there's plenty of us out there. So you'll find one that works for you. But definitely we will know all those areas of that assessment. And I think what's most important is we care about which metrics for each business. So it's not a one size fits all for how people pass the assessment.
Sure.
It's very based on what your values are as a business, because it may be that you want to focus more in some areas of the assessment than the others.
Yeah. And you said that the B leaders are assessed, trained by B Labs. So what's that process like? You wake up one morning and you think, I'm going to be a B leader. And then what happens next?
So they basically do intakes throughout the year for the training. Mm. It's a very intense 5-day training sessions. It's all being done online at the moment, as you can imagine. It's the way it was ran when I did it was we had four different trainers across that training program, and we had about 17 people within that were being trained. Okay. And we all came from very different backgrounds. There were people that had been sustainability consultants for 20, 30 years. There were people that were brand new to it. There were people that were going to use it as an additional service within their business. So, for example, there were people there that had sustainable marketing companies, and they wanted to be able to help with this as well because they could see that was a need of their existing clients. So we had the training. There was no exam or anything. It was just lots of very long Zooms and lots of note taking and lots of discussions around the assessment and why answers are particular and all that kind of thing. And then after our assessment, B-Lab UK assigned us each two businesses to help through the B impact assessment.
Okay.
So then we all had these two businesses that we helped through the assessment over 2 2-hour sessions per business. Mine took a longer than that. And I know speaking to other B leaders, took us all longer than that. You know, they only apparently get 4 hours of your time, but certainly in my case, I put the extra time in because I wanted to make sure that we did it. We kind of got to the place we wanted it to. Then we had one of the trainers have a half an hour call with you and the company that you'd helped to kind of answer any questions that you may have struggled with and just to kind of check through the assessment and check that you'd kind of filled it all out correctly. Mm. Because the way the assessment works is depending on how you answer one question can send you down a different question track. And then once you kind of passed that kind of practical exam, then you get to go on the B Leaders website.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's not, as with everything B Corp related, it's not a simple process and it's not a checkbox process. It takes a lot of effort. So, you know, anybody listening who thinks is B Corp right for me, is B Leading right for me, then it may be, but it's not something you can just decide to do and it's easy. You need to put the effort and the work in. What do you think, Hannah, is the value of B Corp, B Leading to you? What does it bring that you don't get if you didn't have that?
Well, for me, it's knowing that the types of business clients I'm going to have through this qualification are the types of businesses that I want to be working with. Before, when I was working in a more generalized business consultant, project management consultant role, the businesses were coming to me who maybe their kind of goals and their ambitions as a business were more based around their bottom line. Whereas now this is a lot more purpose-driven businesses. So the reason I do it is because to be able to know I'm helping purpose-driven businesses be better is like joy in itself. So
that's great. I mean, and that's really interesting because we, you know, in other business consulting things you talk about, you know, getting customers that you want to work with and hadn't really thought about using, you know, B Corps is a way of just finding those people. I mean, yeah, so it's an interesting take. We're asking all our guests, Hannah, to give us a tip or an action for listeners to take away. So if you could say to listeners, here's one thing you should go and do, what would that be?
I've put down two.
Okay, that's fine. Because have done two.
Well,
that's fine. You can have two as well.
Okay, thanks. It was I wasn't sure whether I'd got the first one from the podcast or from somewhere else. So I thought if I already recommend something that I've got,
doesn't hurt to repeat stuff.
So my first one was Water Bear, which is a brand new streaming service, which has been set up by some nonprofits, which is a free streaming service, very similar to Netflix. All you need to do is put in your email address. And it's got access to tons of social and environmental documentaries. So if you've been documentaried out on Netflix or Amazon, or you don't use those platforms for personal reasons, this is a free one. It's sponsored by nonprofits and it's got some absolutely incredible films. So just that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, great. And the other one was?
And the other one was something that I use every single year and have done since I can remember, maybe 7 or 8 years. It's something called Year Compass, and it's a free tool which is a downloadable booklet which asks you questions to close your last year and to plan your next year. And I usually use that, you know, at the beginning of the year, but I think this is kind of feels like a perfect time now when we are kind of all, it's the spring, we're awakening from a year which has been very difficult. So if people are feeling a bit overwhelmed, I mean, I find this is a really nice way to really appreciate and look back on the year that I've had, and also to help me kind of put a plan in place for the year ahead. And that's a completely free resource. And I find that just a really nice way to kind of look at things.
Great, brilliant. And obviously we'll link those up in the show notes. And we've also been asking guests for a kind of a book recommendation or a film recommendation. Is there something that you think listeners should go and look at or go and read?
Mine would be the Happy documentary, because it literally changed my life. So it made me travel around the world. So mine would be, you know, try and find that thing, whatever that passion is, and really kind of delve into it. For me, it's well-being and happiness, and that documentary did change my life, and it's led me to where I am now. So I would always recommend that.
Brilliant. And before we come on to a little bit of fun with Factor Fake, if people are interested in finding out more about you, Hannah, or getting in touch, what's the best way for people to get hold of you?
I am on every social media as Better Not Stop. So you'll find me on Clubhouse, Instagram, Twitter, you know, LinkedIn, everywhere as that. So you'll be able to find me quite easily.
Okay, and obviously we'll put links to all Hannah's social on the show page. You can go and find her. Right, now it's time for Fact or Fake, and I have to admit that I'm doing dismally against our guests on this. I'm normally okay, but I seem to be losing, and I'm a little bit worried. As I said at the start, I kind of know Hannah before the show, so she's prepared some for me, and I'm kind of a little bit nervous because it's from a book that, let's say I know the book. So I'm a bit worried that I'm going to get all of these wrong, and I should get them right. But we've also decided to do more than just the three, because I've prepared some for Hannah as well. So let's see how we go. So Hannah, do you want to fire away with your first one?
Okay, so the first one is, over 1% of the world's total greenhouse gas footprint could be saved by improving how rice is grown.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Over 1%. There's a lot of rice in the world. So my thing is, can I remember? I think it's more than that. I think it might be like 3 or 5 or something.
It is actually just over 1%, but it actually is 6% of all food supply chain green gases are from rice fields. So it's one of the most unsustainable crops, definitely among the carbohydrates.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, I found that shocking.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, we all talk about beef, don't we, and meat, and there are other foods that, almonds was another one.
Oh, and avocados as well.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So I think that's, was that, did I get that right? It was over 1%, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's over 1%, yeah.
So I got that right. So that's one to me.
We'll let you have that one. Okay. Good start. Okay, so next one. So that was, I thought I'd do a food one, I'll do an environment one, and then I'll do a social one, because that's, you know, mixing it up.
Covers the bases.
Covers all the bases. Good. Okay, so since 1970, a survey by the WWF has found out of nearly 4,000 species, there has been a 30% reduction of species since 1970.
Biodiversity loss. I'm going to say this is a fake. I seem to remember a figure in the 40-something percent. I think that's a fake.
It's a fake. It's actually, since 1970, we've seen a reduction of 58% of species.
Wow.
Which is horribly higher than even you thought it was. So yeah, that's an insane amount of loss of biodiversity in the last 50 years. And actually, to make you even more depressed, a study of flying insects found a frightening 75% decline in the last 27 years.
Wow. Yeah, some of the declines, they are frightening. And every time you hear them, you just think, you know, what can we do about this? And then you get on with life and the world goes, you know, merrily along, and it's sad and frightening, but good facts to know. But I think that's two to me, so I'm going to look on the bright side of that one. That's 2-0.
Don't worry about the world. I'm winning this competition. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, last one. The average American will spend will spend 5 months of their life in prison. That's out. If everyone in America was to go to prison, they'd all go to prison for 5 months.
I got a sneaky feeling that might be a fact. There's a lot of Americans in prison and a lot of them in there for a long time. I think that might be a fact.
Unfortunately, you are wrong.
Okay.
It's a staggering 7 months of their life.
Wow.
And if you pick a random US citizen, there is a 0.88% chance they're in prison right now. So if anyone wants to learn anything about the US prison system, which is horrific, by the way, there's a great documentary on Netflix called 13th, which is very shocking about how the prison system works there and how awful it is. But definitely it's something we should educate ourselves on. And if anyone can think of any solutions or over that.
That's a scary number of people in prison. Well, moving on, I've got three for you. So
okay.
It was 2-1 to me so far, but you've got a chance to make it up. Now, mine are more B Corp. As you are a B leader, Hannah, I thought I'd make mine B Corp related. So
okay.
The first one is, Danone North America are the largest B Corp in the world. Is that a fact or is it a fake?
I'm going to say it's a fake. Because although it's massive, they're not a B Corp. It's just some subsidiaries of them B Corps, but the actual overall business is not a B Corp.
So the overall Danone isn't a B Corp, but Danone North America is a subsidiary, is a B Corp, and is the largest B Corp in the world.
Okay, so I've got to get the next one right.
Yeah, so you mentioned you've been travelling a lot, so that might help you with the next question. So here we go. So this is from the B Corp's directory. Haiti, Bahamas, Bolivia, Burkina Faso, Benin, and Rwanda all have just a single B Corp. Is that a fact or is it a fake?
Oh, I'm going to say fact.
I'm on a roll today. That is actually a fake, but Bolivia and Rwanda have two B Corps each, but the rest do have just a single B Corp.
That was sneaky. There's thousands of B Corps.
There are. Okay, well, here's one you might know. And this is about scores. We mentioned that every organisation gets a score, and it's 80 points to become a B Corp. And then at the really good end, people are getting a lot higher than that towards, you know. But anyway, so with a score of 151.4, Patagonia are the top scoring B Corp in the world. Is that a fact or a
damn fact? You, because do you know what? I looked up this score because I did a B Corp workshop. Okay. And I was thinking, if he says Patagonia, I know it's 140 something or 150 something.
151.4 is Patagonia's score. Is that the best in the world?
I'm going to say no. Yes.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. You were right. It was no. There's a few, actually. Alma Natura, who are a Spanish food producer, 153.8, they're better. And I didn't look through the whole directory, but Green Retirement, 162.7.
That's so amazing. Triodos Bank are quite high in the UK, I think. And I'm actually working with a company at the moment who are coming in at 167, which is insanely high. And I think they might be one of the highest B Corps I know of.
Yeah.
But maybe I filled out the assessment wrong. So
there is a list, which is Best for the Planet, which lists the top 10%. And 167 is certainly up there. But anyone that's been through it knows how difficult it is to achieve 80, let alone some of these really impressive scores. So any score in the 140s, 150 is truly, truly impressive. Hannah, I'd like to thank you for letting me win at Fact or Fake. I'm gonna be floating on air for the rest
welcome.
Of the day. You're so kind.
I know what a bad loser you are, so that's why I let you win.
Oh, thank you. Too kind. And thanks for being on the show. And we must have you back to talk about your journey some more. That sounds absolutely fascinating. I'd love to find out more about your journeys across all those various countries. But thank you.
Thank you very much.
We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the other 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit our website greenelephant.show. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow and we hope you have a sustainable day.